Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, John Wadsworth here, talking to you live from undisclosed location in Pearl River, Louisiana. And God bless you. And we'd like to talk about this morning the resurrection, the gospel of Christ. We're from Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I want to talk about the gospel. My assumption was that everybody knew about the gospel, and I don't want to, you know, take for granted anybody. Assuming anybody knows the gospel, when Paul the Apostle and Jesus Christ came to the earth, resurrected from the dead, that was a new phenomenon, and it was not taught in many religions, especially not in the Roman world. The only ones that it was taught was the Jewish religion, and the Jewish religion of them, there was a lot that did not believe in the resurrection. Now, the Pharisees did, but the Sadducees didn't. And so what I'd like to do is go over a little bit about the spreading of the gospel and especially explaining the gospel as the scriptures teach it. And a good place to go there would be 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to go and discuss that a little bit in 1 Corinthians. To give you a little background on Corinth, Corinth is about, I'd say, 2 hours drive south of Athens today. When I went to Corinth, I went from the ship that I was on, and it took about a two-hour drive to go down to Corinth, to the remains of Corinth. And so it's probably a little bit longer. Now, if we go back to Acts chapter, a little bit longer by foot, but it was a two-hour drive by a bus. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Let's see, that's Acts chapter 17. And we'll start there in verse 1. Acts 17, 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, the Messiah. And it says, and then some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. You know, it's kind of like those people that protest today and they riot today. They're lewd fellows, same thing. The baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jesus and sought to bring them out to the people. So we see here contention against the gospel and against the believers of the gospel and the preachers of the gospel. It was the same thing back then as it is today when there's contention against the truth. So we'll go down a little bit further, and we'll go to Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now, Paul went to other cities and he's preaching the gospel. Some believe, some not. He had to leave because of the contention. The Jews were against them, but many believed anyhow. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, I'm in Acts 17:16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Some, "He seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what the new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, this new doctrine. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So the center of education, the center of new thought, like you have in these higher institutes of learning today, all over our country, all over the world, where the brainies, the intellectual, and want to be educated are located. And so, and that's what Athens was like. If I could relate or compare it, it would be like Harvard or like Boston. Boston has more universities in the city than any other city in the world. And so, always wanting to hear something new, a new doctrine. The strange thing that Paul was preaching. Verse 17, to Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar that this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, and him declare unto you." Okay, then he preaches to them. He preaches to the Stoics, the Epicureans, the intellectual, educated, the philosophers of the day. And Paul preaches to them. Some believe, some don't believe. And he says down here at the end of his preaching, his message, he says in verse 29, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God is like unto gold, silver, stone, graven by art, men's device." And all the religions has some type of something physical, some type of stone or graven image or something that they could point to, made out of silver, whatever, that they could point to. That was their focus. It has some special power. Verse 30, "And the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that he raised him from the dead." And that's who everybody will be judged by, the resurrected man, the righteous man. Now, if you can live a more righteous life than Jesus Christ and then raise from the dead, and that was the proof of his righteousness and his calling and who he is, that is God, then you don't need the gospel. You don't need Jesus Christ. You don't need the redemption of Jesus Christ. I don't think that's the case with anybody, not with me or you. In verse 32, when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed among that which was Dionysus and Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So we see that some believed and most didn't. Of course, the intellectuals didn't. The philosophers didn't. The ones that have heard, they're more skeptical in their, analysis paralysis was their problem. It's up to the Holy Spirit to make them believe anyhow. Then, about 2 hours away, by bus, Acts 18:1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Again, about a two-hour drive from Athens, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came to Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudia had commanded all Jews depart from Rome and came unto them. They were departed from Rome. All the Jews were kicked out of Rome, and they were sent over to Corinth to dig a canal. And they didn't do it, though. They didn't finish it. It wasn't done. It wasn't finished until end of the 1800s. And there is a canal there, and it's quite a sight. It's deep. That's some rock. That's some hard stone there. And I forget how many miles long it is. It's not that wide as big as ships are today. But that's why Aquila and Priscilla were in Corinth. Now Corinth, now this is interesting. Now Corinth was a city of, superstition. As Athens was known for its superstition, Paul was amazed at all the superstition. Athens itself had 18 different temples. So you had 18 different gods, and they all had their little meanings, and they were all worshipped, and they had these stones. I saw a bunch of them in a museum. There were little stone carvings of humans, animals, and they were worshipped. And that's where Paul was at. And so Corinth was known for its columns. You ever heard of in Greek architecture, you got different type of columns. You had the Corinthian columns. Well, that's why, because the Corinthian columns were well known for their carving and also the decorative of the ends of the columns. I forget what they call it. Pedestal. I think it's pedestal. Of capital, the capital of the columns. You've got three types of columns that were very popular, the Ionic, the Corinth, and I forget the other one. But that's why, because Corinth was known for its decorative columns that they constructed. Also known for the games. They had a lot of like Olympic games and sports games and all of that there. So it was a big seaport because it was right by the sea. A lot of sailors, a lot of merchants, a lot of merchandise that came through it. So it was a very wealthy city. And like New Orleans, New Orleans became a very wealthy city because of its water traffic, its weather. I mean, not weather, it's not weather. Because of its water traffic, its location at the end of the river, and so you had a lot of worldly, ship traffic coming in and out, still do. Japan, United States, what goes out of the docks in New Orleans, soybean-wise, is 90% of what Japan uses. 90% of the soy and soybeans that Japan eats comes from the port of New Orleans. So, again, you can imagine how huge or valuable or and wealthy Corinth was. And they also had the famous priestess prostitute, religious prostitutes known in Corinth. So Paul goes there now. And let's see what he says here. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, Priscilla and Aquila. Excuse me. He abode with them because they were the same craft by their occupation. They were tent makers. And again, tents is a temporary dwelling, and you had a lot of transients coming in and out of Corinth, and so tents would be very much in demand. And he reasoned in the synagogue, every Paul did, in the Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and they testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they were, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook off his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed, and thence entered into certain man's house, Justus, the one worshiping God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord, and with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And so you had all of this false worship going around, all of this activity of false worship, even sexual activity in the name of worship going on. But you had a lot of people that saw the fallacy of these religions and but heard the truth of the preaching of Jesus Christ, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that a lot of people believed. And but Paul was really kind of taken back by all of this. And it's, and then Crispus, verse 8, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Verse 9, then spake the Lord unto Paul in the night a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold of thy peace, hold thy peace, hold not thy peace, for I am with thee and am not, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So that tells me, even though you're practicing a false religion, you believe in a higher power or a more of a God of some type. And so that false religion will get you looking into the real God. That's what I believe. And so that kind of, no matter what the condition of the city is, like New Orleans, it's a terrible city. But there's a lot of people that worship false gods there. So it's fertile ground for the truth. And so he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So Paul stayed there a year and a half teaching the word of God. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, same place. And Paul is going to explain the gospel to the Corinthians. And this is important to realize that you must get under good teaching, get under good teaching to grow in your spiritual walk with the Lord, because just because you get saved and you have the Holy Spirit, that means Satan's going to attack you with false religion and false teaching because you are a believer. He can't get your soul, but he can get your testimony and confuse you with false teaching. And he'll do that, and that's what Satan had here at Corinth. And so Paul, again, is writing to Corinth, the Corinthian church. A lot of people believed, but you have your false teachers that come. And like I said, they had 18 different temples and all this other false teaching going on. Well, now here's the gospel. This is the gospel I'm going to be reading. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. Make sure you understand the gospel and what it is. So let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. This is the gospel, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Okay? He says according to the scriptures. He died for our sins. And we can find that scriptures. I'm just going to read off some here. Genesis 3:15, Psalm 22, 1 through 31, Psalm 69, 1 through 36, Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, Daniel 9, 24 through 26, Zechariah 13, 7. So according to the scriptures, I'm just going to read a quote or show you Old Testament scriptures. Now, you can go into the New Testament, of course, like Luke 24, 26, 27, Luke 24, 46, Acts 3, 18. But the New Testament hadn't been founded yet or canonized yet, so what they had was the old scriptures. And what he's telling them, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's not some willy-nilly thing made up. No, it's the scriptures. The holy word of God, the Old Testament as we know it, the Moses and the prophets, according to that, Jesus died for our sins. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to what? The scriptures. Again, according to the scriptures. All of this was done. Not willy-nilly, made up, but it was written down. And for hundreds of years before, and over a thousand so many years before, that it was written down and prophesied that Jesus would come and came according to those writings, scriptures. And Psalm 2:7, Psalm 16, 10 and 11, Isaiah 53, 10 through 12, Hosea 6, 2, Jonah 1:17. Then you go into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's also Acts and 1 Peter has some references here. But the main thing is that the gospel was done according to the scriptures. Christ died according to the scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, what else? Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500. Now, just to go back to Cephas in verse 5. Cephas is another name for Peter. Verse 6, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some had fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. So we know that that was the way after the resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. Paul met him on the Damascus Road. And we've seen right there in 1 Corinthians, in Acts 18, that he had a personal encounter with Christ in Corinth, because Paul was really amazed at all the wickedness or the false worship that was going on in Athens and Corinth, that these people were coming to Christ. So they were believing his message. And again, he had the Jews after him, and he'd been knocked around a little bit. And he's human. He was scared. Jesus said, "They don't worry about it. Nobody's going to hurt you. I got plenty of believers here." So Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles," verse 9, "that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe." And so here is what the gospel is. Right here, Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 15, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So that's the gospel. If you believe that, then you're saved, you're born again. But if you believe in something else, then I would make sure that I have the right belief. Because anything contrary to what I just read you in 1 Corinthians 15 is a false gospel. It's a false teaching. It's a false teaching of the devil, and make sure. Now, let me show you something. I just told you what the gospel was. Now, look what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, the main difference between all other religions and the Christianity, the true Christianity, is that Jesus was raised from the dead. God in the flesh was raised from the dead and lives today. See, now look what it says in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This was a figure or a type of prophecy of what was going to happen in the future when Jesus Christ would come. Abraham was experiencing it in type or in a figure by God telling him to sacrifice his own son. And Abraham believed that, well, the promise is supposed to come through my son, and you want me to sacrifice him. And Abraham believed. This is old scripture now. This is in Genesis 22. He believed, and believing that God would raise him from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and lives today? If so, then that is a basic foundation to being saved. God bless you. I hope that you are saved. If not, ask God to save you. You can tell them that you believe, like Romans 10:9 says. that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the, let's say, culmination of the salvation, and your belief in that, God will honor and save you, forgive you of all your sins, and he'll come into your heart and live with you and give you a new life with him, the center of your life. God bless you, Brother John. My email, if you want to talk to me, is wsm217@gmail.com.